Religious causes have been associated with violence. The Crusades, the Spanish Inquisition, 9/11 come to mind. Religious leaders often denounce violence, but radicals also use religion to create support for violence. So does religion cause violence? What do you think? I'm at 206-543-5869. That's 206-543-KUOW. If you're outside our area, it's 800-289-5869. You can write to us, conversation@KUOW.org. Here's what we heard from some of you earlier today.
Yes, I have long firmly held that religion is the cause of most war. And with that, I put the question, is it because most religions are patriarchal?
Religion definitely can and does lead to violence. 9/11 is such the best and most recent example where it allowed individuals to rationalize through their religion a good reason for flying airplanes into buildings.
I would say no. Religion per se does not, but fanaticism and fundamentalism do.
What do you think? Does religion cause violence? 206-543-5869, 206-543-KUOW, toll-free 800-289-5869, or write to us, conversation@KUOW.org. Joining us to help bring the discussion forward are two people who have thought about this probably more than most of us have. James Wellman is chair of the Religion Department at the University of Washington's Jackson School of International Studies, and he's the author of Belief and Bloodshed, Religion and Violence Across Time and Tradition. He joins us today from West Virginia. James, thanks for taking the time and being with us today.
Oh, you bet.
Also with us, writer Rachel Woodlock, the author of For God's Sake, An Atheist, a Jew, a Christian, and a Muslim Debate Religion. Rachel joins us from Dublin, Ireland. Good afternoon, Rachel.
Good afternoon.
Or I should say good evening there, right?
It's a lovely evening for me, actually.
James, let's start with you. There's certainly a history of religion and violence, but the question here is religion the cause of the violence?
You know, it's always too complex to just say one thing is the cause and another thing is not. I did look at the history of religious violence through time and tradition, and what you find is every tradition, Buddhism, Hinduism, Christianity, Islam, Judaism, has been involved in one form of violence or another. But, you know, you could just as easily say that human beings are the cause of violence, and religion, because it's a part of the human experience, is certainly can cooperate, particularly when it becomes a part of the state or becomes connected to the state. When it does that, it can cause great violence. But on the other hand, in the 20th century, one of your callers said, well, religion is the cause of most violence. You know, if in the 20th century, you could really make the argument that secular regimes certainly caused some of the most dramatic violence that human history has ever really experienced in terms of Mao and Stalin and others, Hitler even. There's no easy way to come up with yes or no, but certainly you can say religion has been involved in violence across time and tradition.
You know, you mentioned when religion is institutionalized by the state, that can be a potent and violent combination. Is it the religion that's bringing that to the state? Is it the state that's bringing that to the religion? Is it just the combination that makes it so lethal?
It's very interesting. I think if the state can get religion on its side, it has a very powerful partnership. And that partnership, for instance, during 9/11, you know, people forget that George W. Bush, in a sense, rationalized the fight against radical Islam in religious terms when he said, this is a type of crusade. Now, he took that back. But when that is that kind of symbology is put out there, people know what's going on, and when you can say to the army, to the military, hey, this is not just the cause of the state, but this is the cause of our God, and this God is on the right side of things. Boy, you know, that's a double whammy, and you can see that again and again, and you can actually see that in Myanmar right now, where the certain Burmese Buddhists are beginning to be tolerated by the state and acting out violently against the Muslim minority. So it's always, you know, this is always tricky. And I would say that one of the great experiments in religious liberty is, you know, of course, the American Constitution that separated religion and politics, although they're still getting mixed up, and that is a problem. I would see that as a problem.
Yeah, and there's certainly violence associated. There's certainly violence associated with some people who are very religious in this country, too. Let's bring Rachel Woodlock back into the conversation. She's the author of For God's Sake, An Atheist, a Jew, a Christian, and a Muslim Debate Religion. And Rachel, the new atheists, people like Richard Dawkins, say religious thinking leads to violence, with faith and violence on one side of the equation and reason and discussion on the other side. That's his explanation of why he thinks religion and religious thinking leads to violence. What do you think about that argument?
I think it's sort of picking which parts of religious communities that you want to look at to make that case. The idea that there is an inherent conflict between reason and rationality and religious belief is a very modern concept, and it certainly isn't reflective of the great diversity of religiosity that exists out there. So I would partially agree when you say that fundamentalist ways of thinking about the world. So, for example, we have fundamentalism is often marked by a dualist way of thinking about the world, good versus evil, us versus them. God is on my side, the enemy are Satan incarnate. A fear of modernity or a fear of what we consider to be the values of modernity, things like secularism, you know, the separation of church and state, gender rights, gay rights and so on. There's a sense of fear about that. When you have fundamentalist approaches to religiosity and there's a shutdown of any type of rationalism or reasonable interpretations of religion and the comfort with ambiguity in religion, then yes, definitely there is a link between religion and violence. But of course, that's not the full story with religion. There are very many religious people who are very comfortable with modernity, with ambiguity, with, you know, reason and rational interpretations of religion.
You know, you're echoing what one of our listeners, Robert, wrote on Facebook. He wrote, fundamentalism causes violence, the need to be right all the time. So what I hear you saying is that it might not be correct to say that religion causes violence, but some kinds of religion do?
Yes, absolutely. And you can have fundamentalist thinking or a fundamentalist approach even to atheism or totalitarianism. It's not so much the content of the belief, you know, this is my particular God or these are my particular rituals. There was a big study of fundamentalism that occurred came out of some researchers who looked at fundamentalism, the Fundamentalism Project by Appleby and Martin, and they found that there is a characteristic of fundamentalism that, you know, have to be right at all costs. Absolute truth claims, you know, God is on our side, or in this case, for example, if you have a fundamentalist approach to atheism, the notion that absolutely all religion is violence producing is a very, you know, absolute statement.
Interesting. So saying that fundamentalism doesn't just exist among people of religious belief. James Wellman, chair of the religion department at the University of Washington, what do you think about that, the idea that the one form of religion, fundamentalism, actually does lead to violence?
Yeah, I understand what that argument. I think there's a tendency to kind of use fundamentalism as kind of another binary, and you put up against that modernity and rational thinking and whatnot. And you know, always my question is the problem with climate and the possible extinction of the human species certainly didn't come from fundamentalism. It came from, in a sense, a form of modernity. So you could, I think you have to complexify this argument to some extent. So fundamentalists certainly can be a problem. But it's interesting that in a sense, since 9/11, fundamentalism has really been on the retreat. And is really struggling to find anyone that takes it that seriously
across the board.
I hate to say it's too complex to say one thing is the problem mm-hmm. or another. I just don't think modernity is the answer. I mean, that's another way of of certainly arguing for a type of certainty in its own form.
Well, another one of the new atheists, Sam Harris, tries to make it pretty simple. He says, quote, religious violence still plagues our world because religions are intrinsically hostile to one another. Do you think it's true that religions are intrinsically hostile to one another and that might lead to violence, James?
Yeah, traditionally that's been the case. And, you know, again, across time and tradition, you see that within the great monotheisms. When they come into close of contact with each other, there usually is a conflict. And in the case of Judaism, there's usually some form of persecution, which can come, which frankly often comes from Christians rather than Muslims. So, but you know, all of these conflicts are very complex. Again, so but there is a tendency among religions to certainly think that their way is the way. But is that the reason for religious conflict? Again, I just don't think it's that simple.
James Wellman, we'll let you go back to your West Virginia trip. Thank you so much for talking to us.
You bet. Good to talk with you.
James is the author of Belief in Bloodshed, Religion and Violence Across Time and Tradition. And Rachel Woodlock, I wonder if this quote from Sam Harris, religious violence still plagues our world because our religions are intrinsically hostile to one another, is a variation on what you were talking about earlier. Certainly there is ecumenicalism among some people in religion, but not all of them. Some say it is my way or the highway. Is that another way of saying that it's fundamentalism that's the issue? What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I agree with Professor Wellman about, you know, that it is a very complex question. I think that always throughout religion, you've had various interpretations. You've had people with different orientations to the way they approach religion. So you've always had people who've been peacemakers and been ecumenical. You know, people like Rumi and Ibn Arabi in the Muslim tradition, they certainly, you know, and that's the tradition that I'm most familiar with, but they certainly reached across religious boundaries. And then you've always had people who've had very iconoclastic or very, you know, insular perspectives, and you've had mixes in between. And so it's very simplistic to say that there's these hard and fast boundaries around religions, that they don't sort of, they're isolated entities that kind of bump into each other. The reality is a lot more fluid, a lot more hybrid, a lot more complex.
Rachel Woodlock, I was a little surprised to hear James Wellman say that he thought fundamentalism is waning across the world. Certainly it's waxing and waning, but he seemed to be overall saying it's basically going away across the board. What do you think? Do you think that's true?
Yeah, I actually would agree. It depends on where you're talking about and, you know, which population. But I've seen it myself involved with the Muslim community. Before September 11, I think that there was, I suppose, not as much scrutiny over groups that we would characterize as fundamentalists. I mean, it's a tricky word. It's a word, actually, that belongs to Christian heritage anyway. But if we talk again about this sort of very dualistic thinking and us versus them, you know, there was perhaps not as much critical assessment of these types of groups, literature and claims and their charismatic preachers and so on. I think since September 11, since the, you know, the bombings in London, the rise of the visibility of religious terrorism, and I'm you know, mostly familiar with Muslims living in the Western world, but there has been a sense that Muslims in the mainstream have woken up and said, we don't want these guys speaking for us. So I think, yes, Professor Wellman's correct in that it's a bit of a harder sell for them. However, the other point I would like to make is that where the state has co-opted religion or has given preferential treatment for a particular religion or a particular religious institution, this has often delegitimized the mainstream religious leaders in the community and given voice to some of the smaller, more militant groups. So in Thailand, for example, the issue with the Thai government and the Pattani Malay Muslims, although the Thai government had official representatives within the Muslim community, you know, when the problems that the Pattani Muslims were experiencing weren't being resolved by the mainstream Muslim leadership, they turned to other more radical voices. So it's very important to remember that fundamentalism really only flourishes where there are things like social chaos, a breakdown in, you know, the ability for people to lead productive lives, to have representation of their voices and so on and so forth. So we need to really keep a lid on this. We really need to invest long time in social inclusion in our societies.
There's a couple other comments from Facebook on the question of, does religion cause violence? Dave wrote, nothing has more blood on its hands than religion. Jeff, on the other hand, wrote, Mother Teresa, Quakers, various pacifist movements, Sufism, Thomas Merton, the Dalai Lama. Well, you decide. This question of does religion cause violence leads me to wonder about a thought experiment, Rachel. If religion leads to violence, if there were no religion, would there be less violence?
Well, we haven't seen that in the 20th century experiences with communism, with Mao Zedong and Stalin and so on. So I think that the enforced secularism is probably just as bad as enforced religion. I think what we need is a nice middle ground between the two.
Indeed, suppressing religion leads to its own form of violence. Thank you very much for talking to us today. I appreciate you taking the time.
My pleasure.
You have a good evening there in Dublin, Ireland. Rachel Woodlock, the author of For God's Sake, An Atheist, a Jew, a Christian, and a Muslim Debate Religion. Maybe some of the things you've heard in the course of the segment have led you to further thoughts on this topic. You can go to our Facebook page, KUOW is the Conversation. You'll see a lively dialogue going on already. Put your two cents in, respond to what other people have said. This is KUOW Seattle. I'm Ross Reynolds. Oh,